My message today is called, Who Are You? When you first looked up here today, did any of you think you were seeing Larry Goodwin? Larry's hairstyle used to be like this. Long time ago, Larry's hairstyle was like this. Yeah. And maybe somebody walked in the day and looked across the room and saw me from behind and went, Who? And then I turned around. It's Pastor Tim. What did he do to his hair? Well, and by the way, for those of you who don't know, if you didn't know, Larry Goodwin was a man who pastored here for 10 years. Over 10 years. So, you know, he was a big part of our church. But yes, I decided to shave my head. And I'm blaming Mark. you know, he inspired me, really, is part of it. And actually, my son and my daughter-in-law have been bugging me for years because my son keeps his hair like this. And they've been bugging me for years that I should make this look my style. And I was somewhat resistant, and my wife was even more resistant. But Mark, you prevailed upon my wife. She said, maybe that would be all right. Maybe that'd be good. I'll let you try it because I know it's going to grow back out.
That's what she thinks.
That's what she thinks. Well, anyway, the time seemed right, and I decided to try it. If you are offended, I apologize. I don't know why you would be offended. So for today's text, I was considering several things. One was Isaiah 60, verse 1, that says, Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Am I shiny? Just a little bit. I also thought about using this verse about Elijah from 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 23. It says, speaking of Elijah, then he went up there, from there, to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youths came out from the city and mocked him, saying, Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. I thought about that for today's text, but I was thinking, you know, if you don't know the rest of the story, Elisha ended up pronouncing a curse, and 42 of those youths got mauled by a she-bear. I thought that wasn't maybe what I wanted to talk about today. But if any of you are mocking me, just be careful. I'm so I'm saying, just beware. There is some scriptural precedence for leaders who shave their heads. Acts 18:18. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took his leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him, and he had his hair cut off at Crenshea, for he had taken a vow. A, E, I, O, or U. I'm not sure which one. No, But I haven't taken a vow, but clearly I have shaved my head. And anyway, if you have your phones on you and you want to start taking pictures, I may need a new marketing pick. You know, I may need a new pick for our website if I do indeed keep up with this. And I think I might. I'm feeling pretty good about it. It's feeling pretty good to me. I don't think my hair or lack of it is going to change much. I'm not having an identity crisis. But it might be a good opportunity to just speak to something near and dear to my heart. So, if you will, turn to Proverbs chapter 23. And while we're turning to Proverbs chapter 23, Matt, come up here. Mark, come up here. And Ken, come up here. Because Ken wasn't shaved the last time you saw him. And Mark wasn't shaved the last time you saw him. And Matt just shaved last night, too. And I'm thinking somebody's got to have a phone, right? Joyce, you got a phone. Somebody get a phone. Let's just get in here close. This is the beginning of the shaved revival. So, getting closer. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, we're doing this live. People live watching us live are like, "What are they doing?" Okay. All right, good. There we go. The beginning of the revival.
You a pair of glasses, though. You're the only one.
Yeah, I did have glasses. I just wore my contacts today because my contacts work out better for worship leading. That's the biggest reason I wear them, is because I can see the music and people and everything all at once. It's just better. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Yeah, now you lost your spot. Okay, so if anybody's watching, we do have fun here. We like to have fun here. So Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Wow. Our behavior is affected by what we believe about ourselves. So who are you? That's my question today. And what do you believe about yourself? And what do you believe you're capable of? When I say that, when I say, what do you believe you're capable of, did your mind go immediately to something dark and sinister? Or did your mind go to, anything is possible. I could do signs and wonders and miracles. Well, you know, if it went to both, it's not completely wrong. What are you capable of? What you believe about yourself affects that. But here's my question. Is there anything you can't do? When we read Philippians 4:13, does anybody know what verse I'm going to? Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do we believe it? Or do we believe it for somebody else? Yeah, he said that for, you know, for that person, and he said that for that leader, and he said, but, you know, it's me, you know, I know me. I've said this before, mentioned it just a minute ago. Everybody said, well, you're the only one without glasses on. When I was 40 years old, I started noticing that it was harder to read things, and I ended up getting some glasses. But then as time went on, I realized that there were some things about glasses that were complicated. Like I mentioned, the leading of worship. I can see the music, and I can keep my face right where the microphone is while I'm playing a guitar so that I can do this, look up and down. Because I can't. When you're in glasses and you got bifocals or even progressive lenses, you end up doing, you know, you end up moving your head, not even thinking about it. You move a little bit, and then all of a sudden, the microphone's right here in the middle of my forehead. So at one point, I started thinking, you know, it would be great to have contact lenses, and then I thought of what I had said many times since I was a kid. There's no way I'm wearing contact lenses. I could not possibly touch my eye. I could not possibly wear contact lenses. I watched my brother try to wear contact lenses. It was miserable for him. He just took forever to get them in, and I'm thinking, there's no way I could do that. And then, at the same time, I'm writing a book, Got No Phobia. And I realized I had a phobia about contact lenses that I'd gotten from my brother, and I went in and got contact lenses, and they work great. I don't love them. I don't wear them all the time. You usually won't find me wearing them during the week. For a while, I tried wearing them every day, and then I was like, I don't really need them. They just work great on Sunday. So I have a pair of contact lenses I've been wearing for quite a while now because they're only driven on Sunday, you know, just occasionally. I also had this thing where I couldn't brush the back of my tongue. And my father, I don't know whether any of you ever noticed this. Bless you if you noticed it and didn't say anything to him. My dad would have some breath sometimes. And I think he thought people were being slain in the spirit, but that was not what happened to them at all. And as I was getting older, I noticed it was happening to me. So it was about the year 2000, actually. I heard this guy on the radio talking about how you could get rid of halitosis by brushing the back of your tongue, and I thought the next day I'm going to try this, and I did, and I went, you know, my eyes went crossed, my eyes watered, I nearly threw up in the sink, but I did it the next day, and I did it the next day, and I did it the next day. It took me a long time. In fact, at one point, I think I figured it was 5 years before I got to the point where I didn't ever gag. And even now, that's not completely true. Once in a while, I'll get a little carried away. But I get back there on my back of my tongue because I love you, and I pray for some of you kind of close sometimes. And if you get slain in the Spirit, I want it to be the Spirit of God, not my breath. Those are just two silly but real examples of things that sometimes we think, I could never do that. Have you ever had, anybody ever have one of those, I could never do that things that you do now? Really, it just maybe something simple. Anybody got one? You got a, I could never, maybe it's something you eat now that you couldn't eat once upon a time. I would never eat that. Now you eat it. Anybody got anything like that? Nobody's, what? Peas? You couldn't eat them, but now you can. Yeah, huh? There you go. Anybody else got anything like that? What? Cabbage? Yeah. Broccoli? Yeah. As you get older, your palate gets better and wiser and finds foods that are really good that you thought were just horrible. I remember being a kid and I didn't want a sloppy egg. Because I look at mom and why didn't you finish cooking that? That's awful. Finish cooking that. Don't put that on my plate. Right? Now I love them. I love them. Here's the reality. You are capable of more than you think. Look at somebody and nod your head and say, that's right. That's right. You are capable of more than you think. You are capable of more than you think. And with Christ, I can do all things. God's Spirit could come upon you and you could do things that you would never think and would never be physically able to do. Some of those prophets, the Spirit of the Lord would come on them and they outran chariots. That'd be kind of fun, by the way. If I could go out here and outrun you guys back to town when the service was over. I'm on foot, just running in front of your car. What? Yeah. Yeah. I am who he says I am. So I can do what he says I can do. We say that a lot. I say it a lot. I'm going to say it multiple times during this message today. I really believe this. I'm not trying to burden you with more than you can take. I'm not trying to put something extra on you that God doesn't want for you. I'm just trying to open up the possibilities in all of our thinking that God can do anything with me and wants to do things with me that I may not even want to do. At least I think I don't want to do them. But I do want to do them. I just don't know I want to do them yet. I only want, by bringing these things up, to help each of us fulfill our destiny. And that's the most fulfilling life you can live, is fulfilling those little pieces of what God had in mind when he created you. And the more of those you fulfill, the more fulfilled you become. I talk about this a lot, but I felt like it was time to hit it again. So who do you think you are? Does anyone remember the old song? I'm a conqueror, victorious. I'm reigning in Jesus. I'm seated in heavenly places with him. With him, for the kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only victory. For the kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only strength and power. One of those songs. We used to sing that a lot. It was a Jesus movement song. We used to sing 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Let me read it to you rather than singing it. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, this version says. The King James says a peculiar people. A lot of you are identifying with the peculiar part. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's a really interesting thing that it's saying about me and you. Think about that. We're a chosen generation. It's not just John's generation that's chosen. It's your generation. God has chosen us for some great things. Wow. And we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone in Christ is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you feel like you're all new? Sometimes it's hard to feel like you're all new, especially when you're feeling kind of old. So old that your hair starts missing and you end up shaving your head. Really, what this means, though, is you are a new species. Wow. Yeah, you're not what you used to be at all. If you're truly born again, you're this whole different critter. And sometimes I wonder about some people who call themselves one of us because they don't act like they're a different critter. They act like the old critter, not the new critter. And you're from heaven. You're from heaven. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You are seated in heavenly places with Jesus. Wow. Romans 12, 2 and 3. We've been here recently, but and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Have you ever run into somebody? I like to use this phrase. I think it's cute. I don't know why. It's just one of my favorites. I was looking for a different one, couldn't find it. You ever run into anybody who thinks they're all that in a bag of chips? I've said it a lot. Yeah. Were any of you one of those people, by the way, when you were, you know, at some stage of your life, you were all that in a bag of chips, you thought you were? You know, never. The reality is, without Jesus, you're just a bag of shiitake mushrooms. Just having a little fun here. By the way, you know how mushrooms are grown, right? They grow them in dark places and cover them with a lot of manure. Kind of how the government's trying to treat us these days. But anyway, did I just go there? That's no longer who we are. That's no longer who you are. That's no longer who I am. We have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So now, the truth is, you are all that in a bag of chips. But when you know who you really are, it changes your thinking, and you don't act like you're better than everybody else. Instead, you start acting like royalty. And royalty, nobility, acts royal, acts noble. They have a noble way of approaching people. They don't think they're better than everybody else. They recognize the honor of being asked to take responsibility and leadership. So I'm not advocating that we get all big and think we're better than everybody else. Quite the opposite. And great leaders are the last to leave the battlefield. Great leaders are the ones who stand on the bow of the ship while everybody else gets in the boat. So again, I am who he says I am, so I can do what he says I can do. Not what I say I can do, not even what I want to do sometimes, but what he says I can do. I was at B-Dubs last night. My daughter's birthday was yesterday. And she can't be how old she is. It's just not right. It's completely wrong, and it makes me mad. But anyway, we were at B-Dubs, and there was a waitress there, and as happens with me with waitresses often, if I'm not refocused on other things, you know, I mean, I try to look up from the menu and look for my waitress. I try to engage with people around me. Sometimes I'm hungry and I'm like, what do I want? And sometimes I need to say, don't eat that, because that's going to do ugly things to your body. But anyway, I just, you know, I was focused enough that I saw her, and I saw her badge and her name. And as I began to look at her, the Lord began to speak to me and just to tell her that things were lining up and they were going to look good, and they were going to be lining up for her in a very special way. And she needed to just look for them to line up and to know that God loves her. It was a pretty simple word. Try not to cough in this microphone. Pretty simple word. You know, let's remember what the Bible says about prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Everybody say encouraged.
Encouraged.
Prophecy is having that sense of what God would want someone to hear and then helping them hear it. Some conversations happened this morning about some of the things that are going on in voting. I think we need to encourage people. They may not think they want to hear something, but maybe they do. Maybe they haven't realized what they're thinking and how it's going to work out and what the ramifications could be in the long haul. There are people all around us that don't know that God cares for them. And they need to know that God cares for them. And if you look at someone and say, God cares for you, they may not even be able to believe that. I think I said it to the waitress last night. I don't know whether you know this or not. I don't know whether you believe in God, but God believes in you. That's a great way to start a conversation with someone sometimes. And that may be all the encouragement you need to give them. I don't know that you believe in God, but God believes in you. And he wants you to know that he's not unaware of what's going on in your life. I'll tell you what, you start a conversation like that with someone, and don't be a bit surprised if Holy Spirit comes down and starts to give you things that you didn't expect to have. That conversation can open up, and the next thing you know, you're telling them something that they know, that they know that the living God is all of a sudden, and you may think it's nothing, and it may be exactly what they needed to hear. They just need people like us to help them, like each one of you. Let me say that again. Each one of you. Oh, Pastor Tim, I know you do that. You do that all the time. You get up and you speak prophetic words over people, and you know, and then God tells you stuff. He just doesn't do that with me. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. You're not different than every other Christian on the planet. He's not leaving you out. You're involved. He may do it differently in you than he does it with anybody else. Some of you will remember Tom Emmerine talking about praying with people over the internet. Maybe that won't be the way it works with you. Maybe it just flows out in conversation. I've had times when I said something, I didn't know I said something until I said something. And then when I said what I said, I didn't think it was that big a deal. And all of a sudden they're crying and I'm like, oh, this is a bigger deal than I knew. I had no idea. I was just going with what I thought was the flow of the conversation, and Holy Spirit came in and landed on what I was saying and inhabited what I was saying, and it went right down into their heart, and the puddles just started flowing, you know, the eyes just started draining. And it wasn't because I was any good. It's because God is good. So who are your they? Because there are, here's another way of saying this. They are who God says that they are. And they can do what God says they can do. But do they know it? Has anybody told them? Are they aware? And who's your they? Your they may just be your family and maybe your friends. And that may be the main they that God wants you to speaking encouragement to. And you're just speaking encouragement, and you have no idea sometimes when you're just trying to find a way to encourage them, that Holy Spirit just comes down and lights right on what you're saying and starts to encourage them in a way that's beyond your ability and you don't even know. I've known people in the past who were prophesying and didn't know they were prophesying. Somewhere I've still got the handwritten prophetic word given to me by a young lady named Jane Thompson. She thought she was just writing me a poem. No, sir. It was way more. God was right on that, breathing on that thing. Maybe it's beyond your friends and family. Maybe people you work with. Maybe people you go to school with. If we had any young people today, I'd be picking on the young people for that. But you know what? You used to go to school with people. We are getting ready, my brother and I, to go down and see some of our friends from high school. Because the old school that we went to school in when we were kids is getting torn down. Yeah, they're doing that all over the place, aren't they? So they've got this new school built. It'll be open up this fall, and they're about to tear down the old school that's been there since, I don't know, 18-something, I think. It's really old. And we're going to go down and tour it, and a bunch of my buddies have been back and forth. Hey, you coming down for the tour? We're going to be there on Wednesday, the 2nd. And I said, hey, I'm going to bring my brother. Oh, cool. He tells the best lies. I mean, stories about when we were young. He does, by the way. He's got stories. You know, I see those guys every once in a while. I try to make an opportunity to see them. If we're going to go down to see family in southeastern Ohio, I'll send a note out, and a bunch of us will meet at McDonald's and swap stories and joke about things and tell the same stories over and over and over. It's amazing how they get embellished, by the way. They just get better and better. We were completely nuts when I was a kid. But anyway, maybe I'll have an opportunity to minister to one of them. And I have already. I have had opportunities to minister to some of them. Some of them live some pretty wild lives, but I think just about all, maybe one that we need to work on, one or two, they need Jesus, but they all talk about Jesus a lot. Kind of interesting. You never know who you're going to get to minister to. It doesn't have to be, and probably won't be most of the time, total strangers. I get to do that. I think any one of you could do that and probably ought to take a stab at it. By the way, let me remind you, if you give a big tip, your waitress will put up with a lot. Just tell her what you think the Lord's saying. If you miss it completely, she'll still look it down the tip and go, well, that was a great person. I don't know what they said. I don't know what that means, but hey, this is great. And remember, you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. Just tell them what you feel like God's put on your heart, maybe. So after saying all this, it dawned on me that maybe my first text of the day was the right one. Let me read it again, Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise, shine. Because you're no longer in darkness. You're in His light. Your light has come. Now you get to shine. You don't have to shave your head to shine, but you can shine. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. He didn't just have His Son raised from the dead, and that glory would have been enough. But He did it so that the glory of the Lord would be upon us. We get to walk in His glorious light. Who are you? You are who He says you are. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for crazy encounters. I want to pray for this word to resonate in your hearts and in your head, and you start to believe about you things you never would have believed about you. That you start to realize you are him in an earth suit walking around, and he wants to get out of you and into someone's space and maybe into their face and touch them in a way that's powerful. So, Father, here are your people. The things that I've read that you've said about us today, Lord, there are days when that's hard to believe. But we choose to believe, Lord, not because we always reflect it the way we want to, but because you say we are, and we are what you say we are. So, Father, cause us as we go about finding ourselves in the presence of people to be full of that presence of your Spirit enough that we recognize that there might be things that we'll say or do that will change lives. Let us all have those experiences, Lord, where we say things and don't even realize the Holy Spirit has gotten on it until it's already out of our mouths and too late, and yet there it is. And we see you working through us, Lord, sometimes in spite of us and sometimes with us. God, work in us, we pray. Use us to get your gospel out to people who desperately, desperately need it, that don't even know they desperately need it. But the world, Lord, needs you. And so we pray that we'll be you everywhere we go. And this we pray in your name. Amen.